Welcome to Win with Richardson & Richardson. What's important now? Success in business most often comes down to hard work, not by silver bullets and quick fixes. It's knowing where to focus that hard work that's key to winning. Join sales prospecting expert and three-time seven-figure business founder Carrie Richardson and managing partner of R&R Consulting and former owner of Doberman Technologies, Ian Richardson, for radical honesty regarding strategic planning, accountability, and execution that will get you the systematic results you're working toward. Let's get into today's episode. Thought leader and your host, Carrie Richardson.
Hello and welcome to Win. I'm your host, Ian Richardson from Richardson & Richardson Consulting, and today I am here with my very good friend, Elizabeth Copeland, down in Macon, Georgia. Elizabeth, how are you doing?
I'm great.
Hey, thanks for being us here. Elizabeth's got a great life story. She was born into a military family in Japan and then has moved and become a lifelong resident of the great state of Georgia. She has a master's degree in water quality, which has helped formulate her focus and passion for creating effective and appropriate technology solutions for real-world problems. If someone needs a bicycle, you don't send them a Ferrari. You send them a bicycle. Welcome, Elizabeth.
Happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Hey, we're happy to host. On Win, we always follow a format when we're talking with entrepreneurs. We talk about the current challenges, the achievements in their world, and the opportunities that they're going to pursue next. Challenges, achievements, opportunities bring up what's important now or the win. And Elizabeth, when we were chatting, you had talked about a recent challenge that you had just worked through. And this is one that's pretty systemic in the technology industry. And I would challenge across all industries, and that's hiring the salesperson. You had to bring someone in to manage both the needs of the organization's sales requirements as well as support the growth. Talk to us about how you guys did that.
Yeah, I mean, this was really hard. I didn't want to just get a salesperson. I wanted to get someone who believed in the product as much as I did because it was my baby. And so not only did I have to find that person that had an energy that matched mine, I felt that was appropriate for my customers to take care of them, but I also had to take everything that was in my head and give it to them in a consumable way. And that was really difficult because I had to take the pressures that I put on myself, the ownership that I had and the agency that I had, and find out ways to convert that into something that was actionable for another person who wasn't in my brain.
So it sounds like a big focus throughout this challenge was the creation of process. And that process was about a multitude of things because, as we all know, sales is just you sign up and someone signs a sheet of paper and they throw money at your feet. Oh, wait, no. There's follow-up and follow-through and discovery and all of that.
Right. So it was important to have conversations with him about, you know, it was very important that customers, no matter their size, were taken care of the same. But with that, how could you identify a customer that is going to be a good fit, that is going to be able to take action and see the value in our product? And that was a conversation in itself that helped lead to other metrics of, you know, how many people should we be trying to fit into our pipeline? How many people should we be converting? You know, those are all such dry conversations when you have them with a salesperson, but when you're an owner, they're personal. Mm-hmm. And I had to separate that out, and it was really quite an adventure.
Well, and then the creation of those metrics when we're thinking about close ratio and forecasting and pipelines and even that target client profile. Whenever I talk with a sales professional, there's always that conversation on, hey, what's the absolute worst answer that you can get from an opportunity? And so often I hear no. Hmm. Like what's the worst thing that'll happen when you go talk to a prospect? It's like, no, and that's not the worst thing that'll happen. The worst thing that'll happen is you'll engage and you'll engage and you'll engage and you'll engage and you'll chase and chase and chase, spend a truckload of time for them to never make a decision.
Right.
And that's the worst thing that can happen. When you get to the no, it's like, hey, great.
Yeah.
Next.
Well, yeah, and it's, I mean, no is an opportunity for improvement as well, I see. Mm-hmm. Like, when you have no, you have a very clear objection, and you're like, okay, well, do I learn from this, or do I just abandon it? And so it's like, it's a very clear answer. Whereas when someone's like, yeah, we like you, we just don't have time, well, those are not our responsibility to solve, even though our product could solve that. So it's, I don't know, I think it's an interesting...
Well, it's intriguing too, because you mentioned, well, no, we like your product, we don't have time. And then there's the that's an objection. Okay. I'm hearing that the reason why we're not moving forward is that we don't have the time and capacity. Most customers who come on and onboard it find that they could do that within an hour. Is there the ability for one of our engineering team and your engineering team to schedule an hour to just get this configured, designed, and rolled out to a test client, make sure it works, and then we can just roll it out to the rest of them with another hour.
Right.
And that's sort of that, like, it's so often with salespeople versus owners. Owners see the opportunity, salespeople see a challenge, and they give up.
Mm-hmm.
And they hit that first hurdle and they go, oh, I better turn around.
Right. And that was one of the things that was so important to me, was instilling that sort of agency, that here's the vision that we have. Here's what we want to do. Here's what we would like to see. But like, you ultimately, whatever you need to do to get to that point, like, just do it. Mm-hmm. So it was a really interesting struggle, because when you're not an owner and you don't have that burden or that care of that baby, it's like, how do you translate that? And I think it was a lot of communication and a lot of, stepping back from my coddling and my desire to control, and allowing that person to work in their genius area.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have to be able to delegate both the control and the task. You can't keep both, or you can't keep one and give away the other. when we were talking about achievements, and out of the achievements that we had chatted about, one really, really resonated up and kind of took center stage. And this one's an interesting one. We just talked about sales, and a lot of our conversations have been about sales and marketing. And you had taken, from a strategic standpoint, a couple of big, meaty pieces of content. So these are those hour-long podcasts, interviews, webinars, etc. And sat down, and you broke them up. You sliced and diced them, you chopped them, you transcribed them, you took them apart. Tell us what you'd like... This is a month-old webinar. Why'd you spend the time chopping and screwing this up? Like, what'd you do?
Well, first off, no one wants to listen to me for an hour.
We've been talking all day.
But more than that, I think that it's really important to get to the point. You know, when you have a product, again, you're an owner, you're an entrepreneur, you have something that you've poured your heart into, it's really easy to get into the weeds. It's really easy to look at the whole picture and say, why doesn't everyone get the whole picture? And so it's a nice challenge every once in a while, a nice practice, to step into something that you see holistically and take out the parts that actually tell the story and convey those with clarity. And so it was really good to go through and listen to, where did I say what I actually meant? Where did I say what is actually the mission of this product? Where did I say what is actually the purpose and the value of this product? And how can those be transmuted to best distill and convey that information to our customer base? That's something that so often we're like, oh, we'll just put it on the website. We'll do a long form blog post. We'll do a white paper. And so often, I think we like to over-engineer our problems instead of distilling it down to the story, which is make your customer the hero, give what the product is doing, and just give that instead of making a bunch of fluff around it.
Mm-hmm. Well, and so often there's a few things that resonate with me from a strategic standpoint. If we put all of our meat and potatoes in this gorgeous crafted white paper, and it's the best white paper on the planet, if someone didn't go to the white paper section and didn't know to click on white paper 4, they missed it. And so we got to have it on the website, and we got to have it on social, and it might need to be in written word, and it might need to be a picture, and maybe it needs to be a video, so that there's those different spaces where it could be consumed and seen, and different mediums mm-hmm. that it could be consumed and seen and received, because there's an interesting couple of statistics that's resonated in my head. One of them is that when someone goes through a training, within 24 hours, they've lost 75%. So if you went over 100 topics, 75 of them are gone within 24 hours. And within a week, it's up to 87%. 87% is gone. So we're like retaining 10, 15% after a week of things that we hear. But the other one, and this one stems from my wife, Carrie, who's been in the business development game for a long, long time. It takes, on average, 18 touch points to get someone from, hey, don't bother me, to sure I'll have a conversation. Not, hey, I'll buy your product. Not, hey, you're the best thing ever. Not, hey, I'll sign up for a demo. All right, I'll have a conversation. Mm-hmm. And that might be a phone call, that might be an email, that might be a website, a podcast, or whatever. So you got to get the same message out as often as you can, as consistently as you can, to as many ways as you can, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, I think we talked about my master's degree. A lot of that I spent teaching, not just college students, but also like grade school students. And one of the modalities of teaching, or one of the things that you learn about when you're teaching, is that no one learns the same way. Mm-hmm. It's really important to take the same content and put it in as many different forms so that people can pick it up. And it's no different when you're selling a product or when you're trying to explain to people, try to teach to people what you do. It's really important to take those concepts, break them up in as many ways as possible. Even if you think that you are over-explaining yourself, when you finally get to the point where you feel like you're over-explaining yourself, maybe that's when you're actually cutting through the noise.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's an extra part. I don't know about you, but as an entrepreneur, one of my biggest superpowers and curses is that of laziness. If I can find a way to automate or shorten or make simpler for myself a task, I'll do it. And you get there's another hidden benefit to chopping up a bunch of content, right? Like we just took one piece of content, and if we made 20 pieces of content, now we have 21 pieces of content.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah.
And that, like, Google rewards that and everything.
Everyone rewards it.
Yeah. Definitely. I love it. I love it. I love it. Taking content and giving it new life, but then also making it more pointed and digestible. Mm-hmm. It's like hitting a trifecta. It's easier to comprehend. It's more to the point, and we just reuse something. Like it's a whole recycling message right there.
I love
Captain
it.
Planet, kids.
Environmental engineering is a big fan.
So, and when we always talk about three things, and that third thing we always talk about is opportunity. What's coming up next? What are we going to focus on next? And again, Elizabeth, you had mentioned a noticing of a systemic issue in the IT space and in other spaces, but especially in the technology industry, where there is silver bullet syndrome. Someone is looking for a magic button. Someone's looking for a pill they can take. It's the curse of snake oil. We're looking for that thing that, oh God, I can't solve this problem. I just need to buy this product or hire this consultant or do whatever and they'll fix everything for me. But you've got a unique viewpoint on this with the entrepreneur. Tell us about that viewpoint. What are you seeing?
Yeah, it's really interesting. Over the course of my career in this industry, I've had conversations with thousands of MSPs at this point. And it's so interesting. You go to a conference, one that's not in a particular ecosystem, and you sit down at a table, and almost the first question is, what's your stack? What are you running on? You know, what is the thing that is different about you that I don't have yet that maybe is how you are achieving what you're achieving in your industry? And, it kind of goes back to the conversation about education, how people learn differently. And I think one of the things that I've found just fascinating is no two MSPs that I've talked to, no two entrepreneurs, no two groups of people are the same. I've talked to people who were pastors, who worked at pizza places, who were DJs, who were doctors, who have gotten into this industry. And I think that is the silver bullet. If when they lean into their experience and their knowledge and their the professionalism that maybe came with what they experienced back then, and they can pull that into solving problems for customers today, I think when people can get a handle on that, that's when we're actually going to see the industry change. When they can get a hold on what makes them and their product special is actually themselves. I know this sounds like super, you know, like Tony Robbins, like believe in yourself. I think that we're so busy clamoring and there's so much noise that we don't allow ourselves to actually believe that we can make real difference and positive change.
It's interesting. When I was early on in my career, this might have been 2013 or 2014, I was at one of the ConnectWise IT Nation conferences, the big one down in Orlando, and I was trying to figure out, I had some pricing model issues. I was wondering why other people were making money, I wasn't making money. Get introduced to this really big, gregarious guy named Fuzzy, and those of you who are familiar with him know who I'm talking about. And Fuzzy said, you know, like, really, you should join a peer group, you got to get some exposure. He introduced me to the concept of HTG, which is now IT Nation Evolve. But more importantly, he sat down, he said, like, what are your questions? And he walked me through step by step on each question. Spent, I don't know, hour and a half. The party was going on. And he said, oh, no, I'm not going to the party. I'll go to the bar afterwards, but I don't need to go to Orlando. I'm like, let's sit down and work through this. And walked me through piece by piece by piece of it. And he shared any sort of technologies. He shared all of that. And he said, look, and this really stuck with me. He said, anyone can install a product. Anyone can configure a product. Anyone can do technical stuff. That doesn't make you different. You got to think about what makes you different. Carrie, who's not here, is always a fan of saying, like, you can always steal an idea, but you can't steal execution. So you can give away the cookbook. Here's every single thing I do, every single process I have. Here's everything that I do. But if someone doesn't do the work, it doesn't matter. If they don't do the work, it doesn't matter. And that's the thing, is the entrepreneur, it took that entrepreneur seeing the opportunity and saying, well, I'm going to go do something about that. I can do that better. Mm-hmm. And if they just capture that back. So Do you have a set path forward on how you're going to help them see this? Are you going to, what are you thinking you're going to do? Are you going to bang the drum from the mountaintop?
Bang the drum from the mountaintops. I think it's been really, really neat to become an MSP enthusiast over the last couple of years. I mean, to see the way that people solve problems. Like you said, anyone can install software, but it takes a community of people learning together. The fact that Fuzzy sat down with you and talked through these things is a shining example of the goodness that's in the channel. I mean, I can't tell you the number of times that I've had a question, or I've seen others have questions, and someone has cleared their day to explain, mm-hmm. you know, what that problem is, to explain specific business processes, to point out maybe this is something that you might want to try differently. And so, while you know, I'm all about, you know, MSP owners finding themselves, you know, while I'm all about them having this journey of self-discovery and seeing what matters to them and like using that experience to move their companies forward, I mostly just am excited to be a part of the community and to see and to encourage that behavior, because I think that is the strength that we have. You can't eliminate all the vulnerabilities. You can't solve all of the problems by yourself, but as you find comfort in knowing that who you are is enough and that you can take what you've learned from other people and to the next level, I think that's all I can do is make connections.
That's awesome. Well, that kind of brings us to the bottom half of the show. Elle, I want to really say thank you for coming out and sharing your story and talking with the guests and subscribers of WIN. If people wanted to connect with you, LinkedIn, you're active on LinkedIn. Is there any other social profiles you care to share?
I'm on Twitter and Facebook as well. Good luck finding me.
There you have it. Elizabeth Copeland, who's hiding from you on social, but find her on LinkedIn. And speaking of finding, if you're interested in seeing more episodes of WIN, you can view them at the Richardson & Richardson website, R&R.consulting. There you can also find lots of other pieces of our content, some of which I do slice and dice from bigger ones, including webinars, blogs, white papers, and an overview of our process. I'm Ian Richardson. If you're interested in being a guest on WIN, go to R&R/connect, select the podcast booking, and we can get it done in one sitting, much like we did today. Until next time, take it easy.
You've been listening to Win with Richardson and Richardson. What's important now? We're so glad you've joined us and know you're one step closer to winning big in your business too. We'd love to connect with you outside of the show. If you have any questions or comments, please reach out to connect@rnr.consulting. Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast so you'll easily know when new episodes are available. Until next time, you can win, and we're here to help.